Hello, hello. Welcome to the Sleon Podcast.
Leon.
My name is Santiago Leon, and today I have Scott Majunkin. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, Santiago? Thank you for having me on, man.
Good, man. So Scott Majunkin, a little backstory. I've known him since college, graduate school. We went to Regent University back between 07 and 09. You were there a little bit more than 09, I believe. And he was a business major, and I was a communication major. And we kind of – we weren't, like, best friends then. We became more best friends afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I think throughout, like, as life kind of took off, you and I developed a deeper friendship. And it's been cool. It's been cool. Yeah. I think it's been about 10 years, man. 10 years.
It'll be 10 years. Yeah, this year, 10 years that we started Regent.
Yep.
And and we graduated during, like, the recession time. So, so Scott, tell me a little bit about yourself since Regent.
Okay, so, well, you kind of prefaced it pretty well. You talked about the recession. So, graduated the winter of 08, 09. It was like that. And so we all know the recession hit late 08. And I was working for an architect, great guy. But, you know, it's here in Hampton Roads. And, you know, contracts dried up, you know, military contracts. And that's a lot of what this economy around here is based off of. And so I didn't know the adventure that was ahead of me at that time. So after Regent, had my shiny new MBA, was doing marketing and business management for this architecture firm, and did some really cool stuff. But 08 happened, and so I started consulting some more and more. I went into the marketplace with the intention of becoming like a turnaround management consultant. I wanted to help businesses that were hurting improve themselves, like turn the business around and become profitable. And that's where I wanted to take my career. So started networking, got in with you know, made some really good relationships and here at Hampton Roads. And I moved to Austin, Texas, there for a time. I think that was like 2011 or 12. And spent about 2 years there, did marketing for a technology company, did some consulting for branding, marketing, and really continued down that path. Eventually, I made my way back here, did branding. I was running a marketing branding company for this larger company. Anyway, so that's kind of like the career side of it. The emotional, personal side of it is that it was really hard, man. It was really hard. A lot of people in the statistics show people, millennials such as ourselves who graduated at that time, faced a really, really tough economy. And a lot of the assumptions that we had going into the market, into the workforce, turned out to not be true for people such as you and I. You know, the lack of experience, all the companies were contracting during that time. And suddenly there wasn't that much demand for a MBA, you know, people without, you know, years and years and years of experience. And so what I learned during that time was this concept of validation. But I can go into that a little bit later in this podcast, but it really, seeking validation from other people and seeking validation from institutions turned out to probably be my biggest mistake, going into, the workforce. But in turn, it has fueled what I'm doing right now. And I think, what I'm doing right now is just flourishing, it's blossoming, and the message is getting out there. And, but that's kind of what's happened since Regent until today. A lot of trials, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of entrepreneurial thought, and a lot of life lessons learned.
So, as you can see, as we've been communicating throughout this podcast, Scott has launched a new startup or a new company. And it has, I mean, how I defined it is like wellness coaching, would you think?
Nope.
Okay. No. Well, please explain to us what it is.
So I have this journey that I've been on has been an incredible one. And really where I am today is the result of the cumulative experience that I've had throughout my career so far. And what I've been able to see was the positive benefits that executives get whenever they are coached and mentored, right? But professional like coaching and mentorship, that is kind of an elitist thing right now. It's very expensive, it's time consuming. People who generally can get that type of interaction with someone is it's not accessible for a lot of people. And that was a thought that I had back in 2009. And ever since then, I've been working on this idea of how can we make online coaching accessible to the normal people, for the rest of us, not just the elite. And over time, working with businesses locally here, I've been able to kind of refine that concept on down. So right now, what we have is I have formed a company called Achievely. I have what we do is we create online classes that specifically are focused on what's called vertical development of employees. So we can look at it in two ways. And I say vertical development, that is the development of a person, who that person is, the lens throughout that they see the world, and develop a person that can become a complex thinker to handle the future that's coming, and to raise up leaders that can actually handle this future that is complex and global and all this stuff. Additionally, so we create these courses, but we also have an online platform that makes these online courses available to employees at a very low cost. And then on top of that, I do host a series of workshops for employees on how to design their life. We use design thinking, innovation methods to actually create a life that they can't wait to live. And also, I provide coaching and consulting services to management so that they can understand their young millennial workforce a little bit better. How can they manage them? How can they get the most out of their workforce? And so all of these things kind of combined are really centered around helping as much as possible young millennials to be very proactive in their life. And it applies the main lesson that I've learned in my career, which is seeking validation. I went into the MBA program. I went into the workforce kind of thinking that I was already validated. I was seeking academic validation from this institution to bestow upon me and say I'm worth, something in the workforce. I looked to bosses, I looked to paychecks, I looked to status symbols, and all of those things were very empty until I learned I have to own my life. I have to be responsible for every decision that I make. And it wasn't until I learned that, how to actually own my life and take complete ownership over my decisions and also live with the positives and the consequences that come from those decisions. And it's that one concept that is prevalent throughout everything that I do. And so far, I've been able to help Chick-fil-A restaurateur. We're building a Chick-fil-A, we're building a Achievely platform for a land for a home community development in Dallas, and we're also talking to several other companies on how we can integrate this message into how they hire, how they train, how they develop and retain a young millennial workforce.
I remember the word, like the very first WordCamp. It was like $10, and it was small. It was like 200
It's
folks. It was
inflation.
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back we started with 200 people, so the costs were obviously a lot less. And I forget we had it at University of Miami, so the venue wasn't costing us anything. And I think when it first started, we probably just like I'm pretty sure we just had a T-shirt and that was it. And we probably only fed. It was one day instead, so we're 3 days this year. So it was one day when we started. So yeah, if you made an event for one day, yeah, the cost would for 200 people, the costs go down dramatically, and $10 would be we don't seem to have a problem people paying, like, for the most part, people investing the $30 or $40. Students get discounts usually anyway, at least some of them do. So really, we've never had a complaint about somebody saying, oh, wow, it's $40 for 3 days and it's way too much. I mean, conferences, if you're a professional developer, conferences cost a lot more than that. I mean, I'm going to a conference this weekend and I paid a couple hundred dollars for the ticket for 2 days. It's well worth it. But this, but keeping the prices low for WordCamps helps increase the diversity of the attendees, because now you can have people that are fiddling around with their WordPress site, or maybe they're using it for their small business. Maybe they're even using it for their kids, or maybe their kids are getting into it. And keeping the price low helps allow them to come to the event. You know, they're not being turned away because they can't afford it. And the kids stuff, and the $40 is the most you're going to pay anyway at WordCamp this year. There's, like I said, there's, you can go to one workshop all day for $15 and get fed, which is pretty cool. So $15, you're getting a full day and you're getting a WordPress site and, you know, you're getting food and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's, if you count the dollars, it's really, you're getting a lot more than what you paid for, probably in just the food alone. So yeah.
Can you explain to the audience what type of levels and sessions will be offered at this year's WordCamp?
We have a couple of themes, but we still have general talks, just anybody, even if they're not into WordPress. So we have, like I mentioned, we have, if you want to learn how to build your own store in WordPress, e-commerce thing, we've got something on Friday for that. We also have our, if you're a developer, some critical things are happening to WordPress this coming year, pretty soon, actually after March. And so if you're a developer in the WordPress space, then you would probably be interested in coming to the developers workshop, where we kind of tell you what you're going to need to know, because WordPress is radically changing some things. And it's good to have a heads up on that. And we also have a JavaScript track on Sunday. We also we have a beginner's workshop on Friday, but we have a revamped business track on Saturday. Sunday. So if you're a freelancer or you're a small business owner or a small shop, regardless if you use WordPress or not, that's going to be pretty important. We spent a lot of time getting the right speakers. Most of them are prominent in their companies, SEOs of multi-million dollar corporations, and are going to give a great series of talks, I think, would value anybody who's trying to improve their business or improve themselves. And Saturday is our usual day devoted to how to do things in WordPress. So if you want to figure out how to build a membership site, or you're trying to figure out Google Analytics or SEO or other things that are related to WordPress, maybe it's just finding the right plugin, then Saturday, in a particular track, what we call the how-to track, so how to do something in WordPress, that's a track. We also have a lot of talks for designers as well. We actually have a very prominent designer speaker coming down as well speaking, so that's going to be pretty interesting as well. And we also have, there's just so much stuff. there's just so much, it's hard to cram it in. But if you have kids, Sundays, we have a lineup of talks on Sundays. We have our kids panel, which we started a couple years ago. It's really popular, where we ask kids how they use WordPress or how they post content. And it's been very interesting every year. And then, of course, our kids activities over the weekend. So if you have a kid that's age 6 to 18, well, 6 to 13 and then 13 to 18, those are our two age groups. We have activities for them as well, and those tickets are only like $8. So you can have your kids learn how to blog, do STEM stuff, and this is actually pretty cool. This is something that when I heard about it, what was being planned with the organizers, it just blew my mind. They're actually going to take the older kids, the teenagers, so like the 13 through 18 year olds, and they're going to teach them how to build their own e-commerce website on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they're going to teach them the basics of marketing, of how to market that. So that is something that I know some adults would kill for, to learn about that. So our kids stuff has gotten really, really popular. We might have up to 100 kids this year. So, but yeah, that's only took 5 minutes to put it in a nutshell. That's pretty much. That's how.
Why is the work of NCC so important to our community?
It's important because in a lot of respects, the work that we do is part of a civil rights movement, and many people in the community are not aware of that, but there's actual legislation called the Olmstead Act that requires persons in the disabilities community to be fully integrated into the community. And it's not a good thing to do. It's not a nice thing to do. It's a right. It's a right and it's a privilege, and they deserve to be able to enjoy the community just as we all do. So NCC provides an opportunity to do job training. We also do travel training. We have programs that take our individuals into the community and give them an opportunity to explore. If they want to do Zumba, they should be able to do Zumba in a class that's Zumba, not a class for persons with disabilities. So our mission is to help them to build their best life, to provide the quality services that they require, and to make the community aware and help them to embrace not disabilities, but people with various abilities.
This year marks the 60th anniversary of NCC. What's in store for your employees and the people you serve this year?
We are so very excited to be celebrating our 60th anniversary. And this year, in my mind, is about celebration of many, many years of accomplishments and success. It is also about community awareness. As I shared earlier, we want everyone to understand that diversity and inclusion is not just about sexual preference and racial and ethnicity and cultural differences. It also is inclusive of the members of the community that we serve. So we're going to celebrate, we're going to make aware, and we also are doing a massive major appeal for new donors to help us in this mission financially. As you look at the news, you hear all the stories about Medicaid caps and potential changes in that world. The persons that we support are very dependent upon Medicaid funding and many of the federal funds that are available. So we're going to be looking and reaching out to corporate sponsors and donors and private donors to help us to continue this great work to make sure that everyone receives everything that they need to live their best life.
And what events do you have planned for this year?
Well, we're still working through that, but there's talk of a 5K. We're planning a huge benefit gala in October that will be designed to re-engage, recommit, and to commit former donors and current donors, and again, to celebrate, to fellowship, to bring awareness, and to ask for support.
Where do you see NCC in the next 60 years?
In the next 60 years, I want us to be cutting edge. When I think about early learning and early intervention, I want us to be the premier site in the city, in the nation's capital. Today, we are fully accredited as an agency, as a center. We are inclusive, meaning that we support children with and without disabilities so that children can learn together and grow together and teach each other. We want to be the model that others from around the world will come and aspire to be. In the world of adults, I look forward to visions of smart homes and leveraging technology that enable persons with disabilities to be even more independent than they are today.
What is your day like at
at Fox News? What time do you get up? What time do you start producing stories? Things like that.
Well, I said I'm a night owl, so we end the show most nights at midnight, but also I'll do some work for Fox News Radio. So depending on the day, if I get my stuff together, get things done early, usually I can put something together for radio before the show or just after the show. So usually once the show ends, I'll go through and see what our guests said and see what's newsworthy, maybe file one or two radio stories, and then I'm out of there by about 12:30. So then I'm home sometimes by 1 a.m., and you know, I just can't go right to sleep, so I have to decompress, watch something funny on Netflix, and just zone out from news, because some days the news is hard. Some days it really just kind of, I don't want to say sucks the life out of you, but sometimes you just need to come home, watch something funny, and just kind of decompress. So I try to get to bed by about 2 or 3, which means that I don't wake up until about 11. So there's sometimes I feel like I miss out because there's a lot of news happening in between there. So then I'll wake up, I'll kind of scroll through some emails, see what I missed, see what's going on for the day, flip on the news, or ask my Alexa for a Fox News Radio flash briefing so I can know what's kind of going on in the world. I kind of ease into my day and then try and get some gym time in, struggle some days, and then read some more, and then kind of see if there's stories that catch my eye and say, oh, we should get this person on, or we should cover this story, or I'm seeing the other networks mention this story, but they're not looking at this angle of it. And there's a lot of back and forth emails throughout the day. And then by about 3 o'clock, get into the office, and then we'll still kind of look through our show rundown for the day, look through what we're covering, look if there's anything new on the way we're covering it, because when we get in at 3, there's a lot that can change between 3 and 11, or look at stories and say, well, maybe this works now, but this could be outdated at 11. And then it's kind of hitting social media. There used to be a time when the networks would have news wires. I think Twitter in many ways is a news wire. So I see what people are talking about. I see what the buzz on social media is. And that can influence the things we kind of cover. Or if there's kind of these fun videos, like this great one the other day of a veteran, I believe it was in South Carolina, that had passed away, and the nursing home he was in did this procession where they played Amazing Grace and wheeled him down. So we look sometimes for those powerful videos, and it's sometimes those little cell phone videos that people take online that can create powerful stories, and it's almost kind of like you have a whole other resource of videos that we'll look through online. Obviously, you can't just take any video that you see on the internet. You got to get those permissions for it, but that process starts at about 3 o'clock. And by 4 o'clock, meeting where we kind of go over everything that we're looking at the day, the guests, or where we all kind of talk together and say, maybe this guest doesn't work for this, or this person would be better, or we want to lead the show off with this, but we're waiting for this to happen, so if X happens, maybe we need to move things up, and then we hit the ground running after that, we get our assignments. So usually what I'll do after that is we have a pre-produced open that we do, so I'll usually write that up, dig some sound bites, and then look at the segments that I'm assigned. Then we have a research team that I'll work very heavily with. So usually after that, I'm on the phone with our research team and say, hey, here's the things we want to dig deeper in, or could you fact check this, or so-and-so said this, but can you find me instances where they said different, or we have a guest that their point of view is this, we want to find the arguments against this. So it's basically setting up every guest, if they have a certain point of view where we can say, here's something you can respond to, or here's some criticism of this, or have you thought of it this way? And I've always been of the mindset that it's always the tension that makes the best news, that makes the best stories. To hit someone with, well, you're arguing this, but other people say this. And it's just kind of the approach I take when I interview people, too, that it's not just, why are you here? What are you doing? It's the other side says this. How do you respond to that?
Who is your favorite entrepreneur?
Favorite entrepreneur. Ooh, I got to think about this. Okay, so two are coming to mind, and I don't want to keep sticking with Tim Ferriss for everything. So Tim Ferriss is one of them, but the other one, because I watch Shark Tank all the time, I'm a big Mr. Wonderful fan. And the reason is because, like, I think the way he handles things is actually very genuine. Some people think he's, like, I don't know if I can curse on the show, but just, like, an a-hole. Some people think he's, like, an a-hole. But the truth is, like, he doesn't want you to lose. So, like, if somebody comes on the Shark Tank and some of the other sharks are giving them, like, false hope and he knows it's not going to work, it's not a good idea, he'll just tell you bluntly to your face, like, the idea sucks. Like, I'm not – like, this is crazy. I'm not – and, like, yes, that sounds mean, but he may have also just saved you, like, 5 years of your life and hundreds of thousands of dollars that you would have invested in something that he knows is definitely not going to work. So I just like him because I think he's genuine and I think he actually really does care about the people. And I like that practice as just like an underground like foundation of who he is as a person.
I agree with you. He's one of my favorite sharks. Like, yeah, he's a tough guy, but like, look at his logic. It makes totally sense.
Yeah.
And I agree. It's like, you know, yes, your idea is cute, but you're not going to make it. You're not going to make money. It doesn't make sense in this market, whatever. It is. But I agree. I think him is my favorite and Mark Cuban. Tim Ferriss, have you read the 4-Hour Body book?
I have it and like I've read sections of it, but that's one I did not read in full.
That was the only book that I read. I should read the 4-Hour Work Week, but the 4-Hour Body was one of my it's like the only book that I read from Tim Ferriss. He's a smart guy. I actually found him through Kevin Rowe's podcast and I kind of learned from him. But yeah, the guy is in his own world. He's like Elon in a way. He's out in his own world. Ready for some random questions?
Yes, I'm ready.
What does a global entrepreneur mean to you?
Global. I just remember we were talking about that in the beginning. Global entrepreneur. I almost think I don't quite get it either, because in my opinion, it's like if you're online and you're an entrepreneur, then like inevitably you're global. So I would just call yourself an entrepreneur.
If you moved to a new city with $100, what would you do?
I would join as many free meetup groups as I could, and I would bring like 2-liter Pepsis to all the meetup groups so people would like me. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, he's like, and then I would become friends with all them, learn from them, and hopefully make a ton of money from the knowledge I learn and the networks that I've created.
What job you would not be good at?
Oh, accounting. Anything that is not people related, I would be terrible at.
And how do you have your pancakes?
Pancakes, my mom's homemade pancakes. That's I guess with a little bit of butter on there, some like fresh maple syrup that were like organic, like from the local like farms and stuff. Oh. So all local mom made, if you will.
If you had to talk to one of these three guys in person, who would you pick? Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, or Tai Lopez?
Vaynerchuk.
I'm with you.
Yeah. You would mess me up, I think. I like that, man. Tell me what's going on, you know?
you know, it's funny because I knew about Gary since 08, before he's big time now. And I saw that guy. Like, that guy has so much potential. This guy – and it's funny because, you know, he says that people start – you know, usually stop watching his content because it's become repetitive. But I keep watching it because it's still encouraging.
Yeah, I like the vlog. It does get – repetitive, but like it's fine because, dude, when you really think about it, it's not that things are that hard to think about. It's just the action of doing. So it's like, yes, Gary Vee is obviously successful. He works 16 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like he works a ton and he's very productive. But so that's, you know, obviously he's successful. But then to actually take action on that yourself, that's the hard part. You know, so that's why I like to watch him, because he just is common sense. He's like, you're not successful because you're not putting in the work. That's all there is.
Yeah, which is interesting because it speaks to a lot of the millennials, you know, where, you know, they just need to speed up the process. Sometimes they just stay idle. But how can people reach you?
Yeah, for sure. So authorsunite.com if they are interested in the books. But if not, you know, if interested in just connecting, I'm always open to like an email, and I'm happy to like help any way I can, or just connect. So Tyler@authorsunite.com is my email, and that works for me.
Tyler, it was great talking to you, man. Any closing words?
It was great talking with you too. I hope, you know, your audience gets value from this, and I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, we're gonna have to meet up down in South Florida soon. So
yes, and we're nearby. We're like about an hour away. That's awesome what you're doing with the podcast. Keep doing it, because I was listening to a few this past week, and it's, you know, each one's different. Each one, like, yeah, you have like a whole different dynamic, and I see those guys really expressing, and you're giving them a voice, because, you know, some of them, you know, probably don't go much on podcasts, probably not, but like you just see, yeah, like their passion, sure, you know. So
definitely, thank you, man. And I need to hear that, the beginning stages of a podcast, when you're, you know, when you're not seeing the numbers yet, like to keep going, you got to have some motivation. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much, Tyler, for coming on the Sleon podcast.
Thank you.